11th chapter, New Testament book of John, the 11th chapter. I'll be reading verses 39 through 40. John, the 11th chapter, 39 and 40. It reads, Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. The subject this morning is roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. Now, there's a significance to the 4 days. In most Jewish custom, after 3 days, you belong to the grave. After 3 days, generally, your body has decomposed to the point where no one really wants to see you. Your face has been disfigured. And so that means a lot when they talk about the fact that he had been dead for 4 days. Now here we have Jesus himself who has heard that his friend is sick. And instead of him rushing immediately to his side, he stayed where he was and kept doing what he was doing. You understand that Jesus has the power to do what he wants, whenever he wants. He has that authority. He has that kind of power. And we know from reading many passages already, Jesus could have fixed Lazarus' sickness right where he was. I mean, when you are God, you don't have to be on the scene to get something done. You can speak a word and the word will take forth without you even being present. You know, you can send a blessing without even being there. And so obviously, if Jesus is not rushing or concerned, he's working on something. You know, not because I can't, but because I can, I will get there at the appropriate time. But also understanding that I'm about to do something, and I don't want anybody to second guess what I'm about to do. I don't want you to be able to say that because I showed up that he really wasn't dead. He was just asleep. And because I came the same day that I found out he was dead means that he wasn't really dead. It was a part of a trick. But there's something about someone who dies and is buried in the ground, or in this case, in a cave, and is set to decompose for longer than 3 days. Because by now, everybody is aware that this man is good and dead. Ain't no question if he's going to pop back up. He's been gone now. He's been decaying. His body is probably disfigured because, you know, back then they didn't have the embalming stuff that we have right now. So therefore, time took its course on a body's corpse. So I'm looking at this text and Lazarus being a friend. And really, there's so much more in this text. And I almost started to break it down, and I may come back with it later. But right now, I just want to deal with the fact that Jesus hesitated for a reason. When he finally starts to make his way into town, Martha runs out to meet him. And she begins to talk to him. And in the process of talking, she realizes that he is the life and the resurrection. She said, I know that we'll get up on that day. But he said, no, I am the resurrection. Something that you're missing is, but I am the one. I say who gets up and who stays down. You know, but you know, they had a sense, if only you had have been here, Lord, he would not have gone through what he went through. I think there's a misconception that because we are saved, because we know who Jesus is, and because we're supposed to have a certain walk and a certain talk, that bad things will not befall us. God knows our every situation. God knows what we need, when we need it. Even if we feel like we should be walking on water, God knows sometimes you need to be underwater. As long as you're struggling to break the surface. See, when you stop struggling, you don't have a desire or a want to move forward. But if you're in a position where you got to keep struggling to just break, to just tread water, it has a tendency to bring you closer to the one that you say you love the most. So even though you think that Jesus is not there, even though you think he is not aware of your situation, the Bible says that he knows exactly where you are. And because he is not right there in the midst of your presence, does not mean he's not concerned. Sometimes we have to go through some things. I'm not saying that you will enjoy what you go through. But sometimes some things are going to get heavy on you. And what is heavier than death itself? Especially of a loved one. But sometimes we forget who Jesus is. And we say that, Lord, if only you had been here before I messed up, before my loved one passed, or before I got into the trouble that I got into. But then you had to realize that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So it was not that he was not there. You just forgot his presence in your life. And the reason you forgot his presence is because you're not doing what it takes to keep him close to you. Your Bible study, your fellowship, your prayer life, things that keep reminding you that Jesus is always by my side. Even before I make those bad decisions, if I would just consult with the Spirit of God, I might make the appropriate decision that will keep me out of the mess that I'm in right now. I got to remember that even though I don't think he is there, the Bible says that he is always present. Martha and Mary were confused because they were losing their brother, and they had the notion that maybe Jesus, had he just been there, they forgot that he was who he was. And so they said, Lord, had you been here, we might not be in this uproar right now. We might not be so down. We might not be so sad, because we know that you got the power to stop death. But you're so busy being concerned about your circumstances, you forgot that not only does he have the power to stop death, but he also has the power to reverse death. So Jesus approaches the scene, and there's weeping, crying, sadness. And the Bible says that Jesus wept. I'm going to work with that another time. Because there's something about his weeping that I just want to explore a little bit more. But for right now, we'll just say that emotionally he was tied to the situation. And he wept. And so therefore, they said, well, look at how much he loved him. Now, he ain't even really known him that long. But look how much he loved him. He weeps with the family. And others say, well, if he done so much for so many other people, why can't he just bring him right back up? Jesus said, wait a minute. Keep on talking or mumbling amongst yourselves. But the reason why I'm here and I'm here late, I'm about to show you. Number one, I'm sad that my brother is gone. But number two, I can fix a sad situation. The New Living Translation says, roll the stone aside. So that means that we have a responsibility in this walk. We have a response. We have to take action along with Jesus himself. Because when you don't participate or take part, it's harder to receive and understand the blessing that's bestowed upon you. It's like giving a gift that you haven't done nothing to receive.
Wow.
And so you don't appreciate it the same way. People say, well, what about salvation? That's a free gift, right? Yes, but you have to do something in order to receive this gift. It's not just handed to you because you're doing whatever it is that you want to do. You have to make a conscious decision that it's time for me to follow Jesus. I'm going to lay down my life, all that I've done, and say, Lord, I'm handing it over to you. Come into my life and save me. So you are doing something in the process of receiving the most precious gift of all time. So Jesus is calling us to an action. Roll the stone away.
Yeah.
You asked for me.
Uh-huh.
I'm here.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to take part in this.
Wow.
Mount Moriah, you want your building restored.
Yeah.
Roll the stone away. Yeah. You got to come outside of your selfish self. You got to come outside of that unwavering faith, that doubt that you seem to have, that you're not going to make it into tomorrow because all you have is all you got, as long as you think that you have absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. But God has something for you. So he says, look, roll the stone away. What is this stone? Some of our lives.
Yeah.
Drugs.
Yeah.
You see, you keep saying that I want to get saved.
Yeah.
But before I commit myself, I got to get my life right. I got to straighten myself up. I got to leave those drugs alone. I got to leave that alcohol. I got to leave those women alone. I got to do some things before I come to see you, right, Jesus?
Well.
Because if you had only had been here at my birth, I would not be an alcoholic. I would not be a drug addict if you had only been there, Father. Jesus said, look, roll the stone away. You got to understand it. In order for me to do what it is that I got to do, you got to take part in the process, because I want you to understand that I'm here, but I'm only here for you and for you alone, because I want to take you to where I got to place you. Now understand this, and this is a sidebar, but here it is that Lazarus was dead, all right? And he was already in Abraham's bosom. He was already with the Lord. So I'm trying to tell you that here we on the outside, this humanity side, this man side, we were so crushed because we lost our loved one, and we want our loved one to return back to us. But Lazarus was in a better position where he was than where he was about to be. But man wanted to push Jesus so that man could feel a little bit better about themselves. It's not about getting a man up from the grave. It's about making sure that I feel good about myself and having my loved one right here with me. Selfish thinking. Same thing with your situations and your stones. Lord, I want to be saved. I want to get right. Had you been there, I wouldn't be messed up now. But he was always there. But we made a conscious decision. See, folks like to blame these so-called generational curses or their life's failures or past mistakes or behaviors. Or really what you're trying to say is that really, Lord, I just want to cop out. I don't want to do what it takes to become to be a success. I just want to say I'm not no good. I'm never going to be no good. So I might as well act like I'm ignorant in the first place. But you got to understand that if you want to be successful in life, you got to do some stuff. You can't just say, I'm going to take these drugs because I ain't got nothing else to do. I'm going to get drunk every night because I got too many problems and I can't seem to get it fixed, so I might as well drown myself in this situation. I'm going to go to the club because at least there I can get my groove on when they start playing my favorite song, and maybe, just maybe, it'll push some of my bad thoughts away for a moment in time. But the problem is that when the high comes down, when the alcohol goes away, when the club closes, the problems you had before you went in are still there, and sometimes are multiplied. But Jesus, had you been there, the Bible says that I created you when you was in your mother's womb. But see, you wouldn't know that if you hadn't spent no time in the Word of God. Jesus has always been there. He's just waiting for you to roll the stone away. See, as long as the stone is in the way, as long as you remain in your own little personal grave, as long as you enjoy your own eulogy, as long as you understand that, as long as I don't move and I lay 6 feet under the ground, nobody really cares about me anyway. But if I should roll the stone away and allow Jesus to step into my life, there's some accountability that I know that I'm going to have. And sometimes I just want to lay prostrate.
All right.
Much is not required of me as long as I'm dead. As long as I'm not about nothing. I know I got children across town and I haven't sent no support or anything like that, but I'm not trying to take responsibility for that. I know I laid down with somebody I shouldn't have laid down and I got pregnant. I need to terminate this pregnancy because I got the right to choose. You had the right to choose before you laid down. But we don't want to hold no accountability, so we want to stay in our grave.
Come on, Reverend.
Lord Jesus. And Jesus is on the outside of your life saying, roll the stone away. I'm trying to get to you. I'm trying to reach you. I'm trying to change your station in life. But as long as you got this great big old boulder in front of you, I can't seem to get to you, even though I'm trying my hardest. I want to get there. I want to be there for you. I want to stop you from doing the drugs. I want to stop you from drinking alcohol. I want to stop you from being overly sexually active. I want to stop you from doing all the things I know is going to bring down your life, but you still got a stone in the way. And if I'm going to do what I got to do, I need you to throw the stone away. I am the resurrection and the life. I make dead things new, and new things I can destroy. Roll the stone away. Now, Jesus was so powerful that you realize he didn't need anybody to roll the stone away. He could have spoke to the stone, and the stone would have moved. But because he wants us to be equal participants, see, God wants you involved. He don't want puppets. He wants you involved. He wants you making decisions. He wants you to come to the right conclusion about a situation. So even though he could have told the stone to move and an inanimate object would have just came to life and began to roll, and that would have really blew their minds. But he told them to roll the stone away. Then the world comes up and say, no, stop. Wait a minute. By now, Lord, it's stinky up in here. I don't think he's been dead now for 4 days. So now his body has decomposed. He's not what he used to be when he was alive. Had to come earlier. We know you could have saved him, but now he is beyond the 3 days in the grave. Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing? Please stop, because I don't want to know how foul he smells. Lord, can you? Oh, not now. And y'all know what we do, right? Oh, I've been living for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Lord, no, not right now. I can't move the stone away. I got too much dirt. I got too much stink up in here. Lord, I'm too far gone. You can't save me, Lord. You can't hold on to me, Father. I got to keep the stone here. I don't want you to open up the door and see how much mess is in my life, Father. I don't think you can fix it. I don't think you're going to be happy with what I've been doing. I've done some things against your word, Father, and I don't think that I can be saved, but Jesus is still saying, roll a stone away. I don't care how long you've been down and out. I don't care how long drugs have taken over your life. I don't care how long alcohol has pierced your soul. I don't care how much pornography has damaged your mindset. I don't care how much inabilities you think you may have. I don't care how people think you ain't no good. I don't care that you was adopted. I don't care that you let a child die. I don't care. The only thing I'm concerned about is you moving the stone away. I already know your mess. I know your problem. I know your situation. I know he's been dead for over 3 days. I am God and very God himself. I know his body is decomposing. I know his face is non-recognizable. I know he's in the grave, but I am the life and the resurrection. I know the situation. I know the circumstances, but I need you to do one thing for me. Throw the stone away. Stop giving yourself excuses. Stop making yourself excuses for why you can't follow God, why you can't do what you're supposed to do. I'm here to tell you that if you just get out of the way, get out the way, roll your stone away, throw it away forever. Stop letting it run your life. Control your situation. Marriage life is in a turmoil because you got a big fat stone in front of it. Relationship between husband and wife is sour because there's a big stone in front of it. Nobody wants to move and nobody wants to give. But the Bible says that if you want me to fix it, get together and roll the stone out of your relationship. Roll the stone off of your workplace. Roll the stone off your family and friends. Roll the stones away to keep stopping you from praising and worshiping my name. I'm trying to tell you I'm here for you this morning. It's Christmas time. Everybody worried about a tree.
Yes, sir. I'm telling.
Gifts up under a tree.
All right.
Gifts that after about a week, most are damaged and done. Some last 3 to 4 weeks. And you forget about them and they collect dust. But the greatest gift of all time, you keep clothes in a box. Never open it because you don't want to be responsible for the gift. But the Bible says, roll that stone away. Get the world's mentality out of your system. Stop trying to be politically correct. Get the stone out the way and let me do what I've come to do. See, the problem is, y'all, that you've called on Jesus and you're wearing him out. You're on your knees and you're praying daily, nightly, for a change, for a miracle, for a blessing, for something to transform your life into a new situation. But when it comes, you won't get the stone out the way. I still got some mess I want to get involved in, but Lord, I know I need you. I know I want you, but I'm afraid to roll my stone away. What happens when the stone gets rolled away? The Bible says that after the stone was rolled away, knowing how powerful Jesus is. See, you got to be in this picture right here. You got to understand that there were folks around this grave site. And they was weeping and mourning and also watching. And I hadn't heard about this Jesus. And he is asking them to roll a stone away of a dead body that we know is stinking beyond stink. You know, by that time, the maggots have entered and began to do their work. And Jesus says, roll the stone away. On all of your situations, roll it away. Get it out the way. And he said, Lazarus. You realize that he had to call Lazarus to live with my father preached upon this topic, because he said if he had not called Lazarus and he just said, get up, the entire cemetery would have awakened. The whole grave would have started abounding with some action. Stones rolling away all over the place and people wondering what's going on. But Jesus, understanding his power, said, Lazarus. Lazarus down there with God, or Abraham's bosom, wherever he was in the Old Testament or New. And all of a sudden he hears a voice, because you know that when Jesus speaks, he's way better than E.F. Hutton. When Jesus speaks, everybody must listen. And Lazarus, in his paradise, probably began to shake and say, wait a minute. What's going on here? Hey, is that the master calling me? I thought I was done on the other side. Lazarus, come forth. And he got up from the grave, still wrapped in his death wraps, and began to come forth. I'm trying to tell you that I know you got a problem with drugs, but drug addiction, come out. Alcoholism, come out. Womanizing, come out. Bad marriages, come out. Problem children, come out. Bad job situation, come out. Bad paralysis, come out. Bad diseases, come out. I'm going to call each and every one by his name, because I got the power. You understand that I got the power? That means you are never in the grave until I say that. Mariah, you look a little run down right now. Some of you holding on to your pockets, but I'm here to tell you that finances that are bad, come out. I want my house to be a place of worship. I want folks to be able to come morning, noon, and night. I want y'all to take a different stance in life. I want you to be a pillar in your community, but I need you to just roll the stone away so I can call you forth for a great work that I got designed for you. See, most of us feel like we're unimportant. feel like we don't have a say in this thing. But that's because you're playing on the outside. When you begin to play on the inside, you realize that everything that happens in this life, everything that happens to you is because you are an equal participant walking with Jesus down the road that he has designed for you. As long as you keep on walking, he's going to walk right along with you. We're worried about the wrong things. We're too scared of stepping out. Lazarus was upset when he was called for. And I know it was, because I'd be mad too. I'd finish this sign. Call Nat Johnson back and see if he don't raise Cain. Who called me back? Who told Jesus to come and get me? Because you was feeling kind of down. You better learn how to live the life that God has given you. Yes, you can think about that I'm gone. Yes, you may have loved a loved one, but you need to move on because you got life yet left to live and they can't live for you. Let the dead bury the dead. Let them rest. Because you got a life that's still before you, and you got to do something with your life to make sure that when you pass, folks will come to give their respects. And folks will say, I'm going to miss that individual. But while he was here, they left a great legacy behind them. Don't get caught up in man's way of thinking. Stop trying to outsmart God or outthink God or say you're not ready. You're ready for whatever God says you're ready for. You got to step out on faith. You got to believe it. You got to take the plunge. But the first thing you got to do is roll the stone away. Because when you roll a stone away, you get rid of your false pretenses. You get rid of that holier-than-thou attitude. You get rid of your self-righteousness. You get rid of the things that kept you nailed to the floor in the first place. R. Kelly said, I believe I can fly. Roll that stone away and watch your feet get elevated. Watch your wings just begin to flap. Even when you don't think it's possible, you might say, I'm a little too heavy to fly, but God said, roll a stone away and watch you become light on your feet. I got something for you. I got something in store. But you got to help me out. You called on my name. I'm here. Now help. Help me. Help you. What I got to do, Lord? Quite simple. Roll the stone away. And then he'll say, Audrey, come for. Dwayne Keith, come for. Kyle Hawkins, come forth. Sister House, come forth. Sister Carter, come forth. Sister Ferguson, come for. See, you're just waiting. To come forth. The only thing that is stopping you from coming forth is yourself. You scared. I might have to be at Bible study. I might have to be at Sunday school. I might have to be at choir rehearsal. I might have to be at the usher board. I might have to be called when I don't feel like being called. I might got to do stuff that I don't feel like doing. No. Roll it away. Let God have his way. And the greatest stone that needs to be rolled away is the stone preventing you from getting saved. The doors of the church are open this morning.